Good morning, everyone. How are you all this morning? Good. On a scale of 1 to 10, you're good. It's good so far? Good. Well, it's a pleasure for us to be here with you. And as Camille mentioned, we have a strong connection. We're ambassadors with Compassion Canada. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. There's many other aspects to our ministry. We're based in the metropolis of Outlook, Saskatchewan, just south of the city here. And our ministry has taken us over the last couple of years all the way between Ottawa and Vancouver Island. And we do a number of different things. I won't list all those different things. If you're interested in finding out more, our websites are robparkman.com and camilleparkman.com. And there's lots of different things that we have on the go. I do some teaching in Christian colleges, some work with churches in church revitalization, and a number of different things. But primarily, I'm a speaker, and this is what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I'm just feeling really blessed to be able to do this. And I want you to know that as we've driven past the church in the past, we prayed for you, and we prayed that we would have a chance to connect with you as a church family. So how cool is it that God has opened that door and that we're able to spend this Sunday with you all. I want to mention just briefly before we get into the message this morning about the priorities of Jesus, that we do have some of my wife's most recent album. It's called Worthy One, and you'll want to pick up a copy of this that'll be a good trigger for worship for you so that you can put it into your stereo and be worshiping as you go down Circle Drive and having a good time with the Lord, freaking out other drivers. You'll want to get one of those. And also, I have with me my very first book that I've ever written called Refuel, Strengthen Your Soul, Energize Your Mission, that just came out this summer. And your church is actually only the second church that I've been able to wave this at. So I encourage you to have a look at that. There's a website that goes with it and some other resources, therefuelexperience.com. And that, I'm sure, will be a blessing to you, too, so you can check that out. Well, this morning we want to spend some time thinking through the priorities of Jesus, because very often in our own lives and in our corporate lives together as a church family, sometimes we can get off track and get focused on things that are not the priorities of Jesus. And we know that as that happens, that things get a little bit messy in our lives. So we always want to go back to and be reminded of the things that are the most important to Jesus, so that those things become the most important things to us in our lives as well. As a child, I always went to a place that was a bit of a wonder to me, at one of our local parks. And I actually was born in Saskatoon, but raised in the northeastern part of the province in Hudson Bay. And there's a park there where two rivers come together, and it's a beautiful sight to see. Has anybody ever gone to a place like that where two or three different rivers come together? It's beautiful and it's powerful to see all that water rushing together. And I think that's a picture, an image for us this morning of what being a disciple of Jesus is like. As we begin to follow Jesus, we come to know Jesus and adopt his priorities for our lives. It's like a stream of water is added to our life. And then we learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. And it's like another stream or river is added. And then we learn and understand greater depths of what it means to follow Jesus. Another river is added until the river becomes wider and wider and wider, more powerful, more evident, and more beautiful to the world around us. When people who follow Jesus adopt the priorities of Jesus and live them out in their lives, they become a powerful and a beautiful testimony to the world around them that this is a little bit of what it means to follow Jesus in our day and age today. So I trust as we look at some of the top priorities of Jesus this morning, that it'll help us to be focused and it'll help us to emerge from this place this morning with a greater sense of and a commitment to the priorities of Jesus for our lives. So this morning, we're going to look at three different priorities of Jesus, three of the top priorities of Jesus. And the first is the lost. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, I'm sure you know this verse well. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at those two words, all nations. Jesus says to his disciples, what's important to me is that you be motivated to help other people become followers of mine in all the nations of the world. You can imagine that would have been quite a daunting thing for that group of guys sitting there on the mountaintop that, you know, there's only a few of us here, and Jesus is saying, all nations, all nations. What I want you to have in your heart is all the nations of the world. And then again in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, he said, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And notice again those words, all nations. It is Jesus' heart and Jesus' desire that people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, and language, every people group, would have an opportunity to know his salvation, his forgiveness, his restoration, his healing, his joy, his comfort in their lives. So if we were to ask this morning in our service, in Scripture, what are the most important things to Jesus? One of the things we'd have to agree upon is saying that one of the highest priorities of Jesus is lost people. People who don't know Jesus. And at one time in our life or another, we were that person who didn't know Jesus. We were without hope in the world. And someone helped bring the hope of the gospel to us. So Scripture tells us that when we get close to the heart of Jesus and we lean in as a disciple of Jesus to his heart, lean in close to his chest and listen, Jesus, what are the things, what kind of people are the most important to you? And we lean in and we can hear his heart beating. Scripture tells us that we will hear his heart beating, the lost, the lost, the lost, the lost. And when we care for people who are lost, who don't know Jesus, we're living out the priorities of Jesus in our lives. Jesus also cares very much about the least. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40, when he's explaining what will happen at the end of time and how God will settle accounts, he says, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is saying at the end of time, when we all stand before him as the king, that he will explain to people, and it will come as quite a surprise, that the reward connected to our lives is tied in with how we treated people who were on the lowest rung of the ladder in our societies and around the world. Jesus here speaks about people who are thirsty, who are hungry, who don't even have enough proper clothing to wear. And he says that he identifies with those people so much, and he cares about them so much, and he wants their needs met so much, that he says, whatever you do to them, I'm going to give you an incentive. Whatever you do to them, it's as though you've done it to me, and that's the kind of reward or lack of reward that you will get. As you know, in Scripture, there's many categories of people who are very, very close to the heart of Jesus. In this passage, people who are so poor that they're vulnerable and they're open to being abused. And in Scripture, we see other categories of people, the widow, the orphan, the fatherless, the poor, the person who is an immigrant and doesn't have enough resources. They're new to a country and they're out of sorts. Jesus says that whatever you do to the least of these, whatever I do to the least of these, it's as though we've done it to them. So when we lean in close to the heart of Jesus as his disciples this morning, we hear his heart beating. His heart is beating not only for the lost, but it's also beating the least, the least, the least. And he wants our hearts to also be beating for the least, the least. When we care for people who are the least, who are the most vulnerable, maybe the most abused and neglected and forgotten, then we are living out the priorities of Jesus in our lives. And that is a powerful testimony to the world. Jesus also cares very much about the littlest. Amen? Jesus cares about the littlest. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 15, we have this story of children being brought to Jesus. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. So you can imagine the disciples are traveling with Jesus and they're trying to get Jesus to the important people, which in this case would have been adults who had positions of power and authority in their culture. And they're whisking him along like secret service agents, and they're trying to get him to that important, those important people. And along come some parents wanting Jesus to bless their kids. And they're interrupting and they're cutting in and they're stepping in line, trying to pass their kids to Jesus. And the disciples are trying to block them out. Any basketball players here? You guys know what blocking out is? They're trying to block these people out. And Jesus says, "Wait, disciples, your job is actually to clear the way so little people can come to me." Did you know that little people in all cultures of the world, even if they grow up in cultures that are hostile to Christianity, that on the whole, for the most part, children are very open to Jesus. And he says, disciples, all you have to do is just clear the way, clear all the hindrances, all the blockade from the way, from the path, all the hurdles, so that those kids can come to me. Do not hinder them. And Jesus says something that would have been shocking to the disciples on that day also. The people that you think are important that I should get to are not the important ones. The important ones in my mind, in my heart, are the ones that I have to bend down, reach down, and pick up. It's the little ones. It's the small ones. It's the vulnerable ones. The ones that if no one takes care of them, they're not going to fare well in life. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Doesn't that just warm your heart? So Jesus says in this passage, it's kind of two sides of a coin. On one hand, if you receive a child in my name, if you show kindness to a child in my name, it's as though you've shown kindness to me. Do we notice little people. Jesus says, if you're kind to them, it's as though you're kind to me. You get the same kind of reward as though you were kind to me, the Lord of all the universe. On the other side, Jesus says, if someone causes a little person to sin, if someone brings harm into their lives, it would be better for them that they had something heavy, like that keyboard, tied around the neck, and they were thrown into the South Saskatchewan River. Now, the levels are pretty low right now, so they might not drown. It'd have to be a pretty short rope. But Jesus is saying, I care so much that children are protected. I care so much about their well-being that if anyone does harm to them, I'm going to do something about it. Be assured. So when you hear that, then you know and you understand Jesus really, really cares about children. He cares about the littlest. So if we lean in close to the heart of Jesus this morning, and we put our ear near his chest, we will hear his heart beating, the littlest. I know it's not always easy to live out the priorities of Jesus. In my own life, as God has challenged me to care about his priorities more and more and more, sometimes I've found that a struggle. And one of the reasons I found that as a struggle is that particularly when we were learning about the needs of compassion children around the world, and that you could sponsor a child for $41 a month, the first thought in my mind is not, oh, that's great, I get to live out the priorities of Jesus in my life. My first thought is, I grew up in a family that didn't always quite have enough. Will I have enough for myself and my family if I begin to live out the priorities of Jesus more in my life? It wasn't easy, but as we began to do that more and more and add sponsored children, I found out that what felt like a sacrifice at first ended up bringing a vastly greater amount of blessing into my life as I lived out the priorities of Jesus. And I remember our boys, when they were younger and they were getting allowances, that they started to want to live out the priorities of Jesus too. They saw on the table a little boy from Togo named Nestor, and they said, we want to sponsor this guy. How are you going to do it? We'll pool our allowance money together and we'll buy that. Instead of, at the time, all the money would have gone towards Lego, but I think they have enough money. So they put the money towards sponsoring this child, and they continue to do that and live out the priorities of Jesus in their lives. I have a friend who also found it very difficult to live out the priorities of Jesus because he went through such a hard time in his life. He was swindled out of $250,000, their whole life savings. It was a real estate deal. He got tricked. He had to go home to his wife and say, honey, I've had a not great day. I lost in a business deal $250,000. What? You lost $50? No, I lost $250,000. You can imagine the strain that put on him and put on their marriage. Their marriage was always already under some strain and stress. And all of a sudden, everything that they'd worked for so long was gone. And they were at minus $250,000. And my friend was really struggling with this. He went into depression. His wife wouldn't even go to church with him. And he was struggling so much, but really working at keeping his eyes on Jesus through this time. So he came to church, a church that we were on staff at in BC at the time. And he came to the church, and he felt like God was saying to him one Sunday morning, this is not the end. You can recover from this. And so he had a little glimmer of hope shine into the darkness that was in his life. This is not the end. You can recover from this. And so my friend went home. He came back to church a couple of weeks later. And there was a compassion presentation. And they were talking about sponsoring kids for $41 a month and how that'll change their life, set them free from poverty in Jesus' name. And he feels like God is saying to him, this is how I will restore you. Okay, God, so I'm already in the negative financially, and you're saying the way that you will restore me is by doing this? So he got mad, went to the back of the church, sponsored a child, and drove home angry. This doesn't make sense. He comes back to church again a couple of weeks later, and I don't know, something went funny in the planning. Usually this wouldn't happen, but there was another compassion presentation. Usually you want it to be like at least a year or two in between. And he goes to church, he sits down, and he's like, not again. And he feels like God is saying to him something that's quite, I think, unique to his personality. You know how God kind of speaks to us each in a bit of a unique kind of way. And he feels like God is saying to him, as he's sitting there in his chair, is that the best you could do? And he's already mad. So he gets up, storms to the back, sponsors six more boys, six more girls, drives home angry. He doesn't know how he's going to do it, but he's just like, whatever, if this is what it means, then I'm going to have a go with this. Within a week or two, he goes to his job site, again, not knowing how he's going to handle this financially, how he's going to restore the trust in his wife, how his faith is going to be rebuilt, all these different things. He goes to his job site. He finds out that he's getting the promotion that he thought he was possibly going to get towards being the site supervisor with a construction company that he was with at the time. So he gets the promotion. At the end of the month, he gets his paycheck. He didn't know what the pay was going to be. Usually you ask that, don't you? Usually that's like one of the first things. I just want to clarify how much money is coming here. And the check comes, and it's for three times what he had been making previously per month. It's like $10,000. He swallows hard, and he starts to realize we're going to be okay. Within 3 years, they dug their way out of that financial pit, and all the while he continued to fix his eyes on Jesus, find his joy in Christ. And then eventually his wife's trust was restored in him. Their marriage has been restored. And my friend is so happy. And what he found in his life is that when it was the most difficult to live out the priorities of Jesus, that's when he needed to be the most careful to continue to live out the priorities of Jesus in his life. And he found out that the more he lived out the priorities of Jesus in his life, the more restored he was and the more blessed he was in his life. I want you to know this morning that one of the best ways to live out the priorities of Jesus is to sponsor a child with compassion. So I want to just show you these. If you'll just click through these next circle diagrams through all three. Compassion works with the lost. Over 80% of kids that come to a compassion project around the world are coming from families that don't know Jesus. They work with the least. Over 80%, again, come from families that make less than $2 a day. And of course, they're the littlest because they're working just with children and young people. Compassion works at that little intersection between all those three groups of people that are very close to Jesus' heart. And that's why compassion is so close to our hearts as well. And what I like to do, before we look at a video about how sponsoring a child can really change the life of a child, I want to share with you four of the ways that compassion is unique among any other ministry in the world. And they all start with C. The first is compassion is child-centered. That means that everything that compassion does is geared towards children and young people and young adults. And because they're focusing on that age group, no, I've got it. I've got my Let's go Christ-centered. Sorry, I'm changing up the order on you. So let's go Christ-centered. Because compassion is Christ-centered, and they're finding that when you want to see someone come out of poverty, the best thing to do is introduce them first to Jesus. And when they come to know Jesus, they understand their value and their worth and their potential, and that's the greatest first big step towards them coming out of poverty. And so while they work holistically, they're primarily leading with the gospel. And as a result, around the world, every 4 minutes, a child is coming to know Jesus somewhere around the world through the ministry of compassion. It's one of the most powerful evangelistic forces right now in the world. And not only that, they've done a follow-up study to find out, does this have any impact on the family members? Sure, that those children are coming to know Jesus, but what about their family? And they found out that on average, an additional 4 family members also come to know Jesus because that child came to know Jesus. And that means that in under 1 minute, somewhere around the world, someone is coming to know Jesus through compassion projects and the local churches that they're connected to. Under a minute. So if I'm preaching for 2 hours, that means 120. No, I'm not preaching for 2 hours. So compassion is Christ-centered. It's also child-focused. How many of you here, if you've come to know Jesus, came to know Jesus before you reach the age of 15? Pop up your hand. Just hold them up for a sec so everybody can look around. Okay, so we might be around 80% in this room. That's amazing, isn't it? During that time in our lives, we are the most open to the gospel. Unfortunately, only 15% of missions giving goes towards reaching younger people. They're the most open, but the smallest amount of resources goes to reaching them. That's a strategic mistake, isn't it? We need to focus on the young in our missions focus. Compassion is also church-based. Everything that compassion does is done through a local church just like yours in the developing world. That means that they get it right. Very often when people who are foreigners see someone who's in need, who's in poverty, who's struggling, they want to do something to help. More often than not, foreigners provide the wrong solution and the wrong answers to people's problems. They provide the wrong answer or too short of a term solution for people's problems. Because compassion works through local churches, they're working with people who live in their neighborhood, who already have a heart for the children in their community. They understand the culture, they understand the language, they visit the homes, and they know what the actual needs of people are, and they know how to direct those resources to best help people and best lead them out of poverty in Jesus' name. Compassion is also committed to financial integrity. Charity Navigator is an organization out of the U.S. that monitors charities to see how closely they're spending the money according to what they've claimed is the way they spend their money. That's important because not all charities are created equal. But Charity Navigator, for the 14th year, has given Compassion a 4-star rating, which is their highest rating, meaning that that puts them in the top 1 percentile of charities for financial integrity. That means when they say, currently now it's 85 cents on every dollar is going towards directly benefiting your sponsored child, that's actually where the money is going. And I think that's important for all of us to know. So let's look at this short video. It's about 3.5 minutes long. And it just explains a little bit about the personal impact that sponsoring a child makes in their lives. I want you to know that we've met the first guy in this video and had a chance to sit down and ask him firsthand about the impact that being sponsored had on his life. Thanks.
It was lunchtime. We were sitting around a table and we were all holding hands. And my father was praying for the lunch that we were about to eat. But there was only one problem. Our table was empty.
My earliest recollections is finding myself at the age of 5, roaming the streets, eating from dumpsters.
We were not able to have food at all.
We were forced to live with 17 of our other relatives in a very small shanty.
No toilets.
A lot of crime.
No running water.
Rape for children.
If you want to be out of poverty, then you have to deal with drugs.
Some of my friends were actually sold into prostitution.
Kids dying for preventable causes. And as darkness engulfs the place, the devil takes over.
One morning, I just woke up that, you know, my uncle is just touching me in some parts of my body that I just thought to myself that this can't be happening.
One day, my father was murdered right next to my mother. And I knew that moment that my life had changed.
I watched as my 10-month-old sister died in the laps of my mother out of starvation.
My relatives would always tell me, Michelle, you are so ugly. You will become nothing but a thief and a drug addict when you grow up. And those were the words that I heard from people whom I expected to love and take care of me.
Poverty had told me I am hopeless, I am nothing, and I believed that. But right in the middle of this desperation, it was then that compassion intervened.
One Sunday morning, my Aunt Carol, she's the only Christian person that I know during that time, she woke me up and said that we have to go to this church, and she registered me.
What joy and dancing came to my home at the news that I'd finally got a sponsor.
I received my first letter.
We wrote back and forth.
And he told me, you're my first friend outside my continent.
She said words like, Richmond, I love you.
And that lightened me up.
My sponsor told me, Michelle, you are beautiful. You are precious to us, and we love you. And the words touched the very depth of my heart and soul.
18 years later, here I am, a child rescued from hopelessness by a young person.
My life was changed.
My life was changed.
My life was changed by a teenager who sponsored me.
One teenager changed my life.
She was 15 years old. Her name is Ashley.
Her name was Heather. I called her mom.
My name is Michelle.
My name is Tony.
My name is Jimmy.
My name is Richmond.
And one act saved my life.
And one act
saved my life.
Saved my life.
Will you act?
The choice is yours.
Sponsor a child through compassion today.
Release a child from poverty.
From poverty. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
So this morning we'd like to encourage you to sponsor a child. And I'll just explain, if you're interested, how that works. How many of you are familiar with compassion already? Yeah, I think most people. So we have child packs at the back, and you just so you know, feel free to come by the table and chat with us. We don't bite very often, and you can come and look at the resources there. But this is what's inside the child pack. The first part, the top part, tells you a little bit about the child. Where they're from, how old they are, and a little bit about their family situation. We actually have 5 orphans with us today, and you'll find them indicated by a little blue strip across the bottom of their picture, and we especially want to point those out to make sure they get taken care of today. So you can rip off the top part, and that goes home with you. Then you have 2 options for sponsoring. The first is a pay now. The next is a pay later. The pay now is the larger form. The pay later is the smaller form. The pay now is the form that you fill out if you're ready today to sponsor a child and you have your banking or credit card information or a voided check. That's the one that you can fill out. If you do that, then you get a free copy of my favorite worship leader's CD, Camille Parkman. Regular sponsorship is $41 a month, and that goes towards helping your child. If you do sponsorship plus, that extra $10 goes towards community-focused projects, if that community needs a water well or something like that. You can do credit card or pre-authorized bank withdrawal payments. There's also optional Christmas and birthday gifts that you can indicate on there, and then all of your contact information. And it is tax deductible. Stephen Harper wants to give some of your money back to you when you sponsor a child. That isn't a political statement, I'm just saying. He just happens to be the prime minister right now. If you don't have your banking information, but you still want to sponsor a child, or maybe you need to talk to your spouse or someone else just to confirm that you're going ahead with it, there is a pay later option that you can fill one of these out, leave it with us because we want to keep track of where the child packs go. Leave that with us, and then tomorrow you can confirm the sponsorship when you, and you can call into Compassion. So there's a pay now or the pay later options for you. We want to pray for you as a church. And then Camille has a closing song. Lord, I pray for this church family that you would pour in new life, new strength, new freedom here in Jesus' name. Lord, for our family and for this church family, we pray that more and more we would live out the priorities of Jesus. We thank you for this gathering where we can refocus on what really matters. Thank you for the fellowship and the time that we've had together. Now bless them each one. Take care, Lord, of the needs of each person who's here. Lord, we know that you hear the cry of their hearts and you answer their prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.